to your own problems.
But where is there a cutoff point? This is an important question for the general populace even. Where is there a cutoff point between too much, not enough guilt, and what sort of factors should that be in the equation of balance once again? That's what dynamic term is, balance. Balance you out of your life in such a way that, you know, the right, the pursuit of happiness, not happiness in the sense of it, but to jump the barriers.
Happiness is not a goal. Joy is the goal.
What's the difference? Is it
right.
Semantical?
Happiness can be superficial, whereas joy is an internal thing. In other words, you help someone who something tragic has happened to. That's not a happy thing. But it is.
Well, what is it?
It is a mission. It is a responsibility.
Very good.
You reach out to someone. You may not be able to save someone's life. You may be able to, but you can maybe put a kind word to help them along.
Help them along as opposed to feeling like Mr. Kuro.
That is the sense of joy. It may not be happy to know you can't do anything more for
them. One seems to be more passion than the other, doesn't it? We're getting strong words here, maybe. The medium, not the message.
I think maybe I'm focusing too hard on picking
terminology.
Yeah,
right, the right word.
Happening.
Tendency to fall into a almost like a pedantic, it seems like. I put off people by my...
Let's get back now to the lean letters. There's more to tell.
Okay.
So I got this one letter from this man. He says, thank you so much. I am gay. And I am reading this in the head because I don't want anyone to know I'm reading these letters. The letter you sent. I said, I think it's just so wonderful and all that stuff. People are talking about it and all that stuff.
Well, in a good way or a bad way, I wonder.
Go away.
Good way?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't tell me everything. He sent me a few more letters. We talked about different stuff, right? Then he gave me a phone call almost a year later and said, I'm coming up to San Francisco in a couple of days. I live in San Diego. I'd love to shake your hand and take you out. So he showed up like that. Because it was disappointing because neither of us was each other's type and there was sort of that hope there.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, right. I said, I would really love to know what really happened. But just a few of my letters, negative, said, no, all of your packets were distributed. They were divvied up between three ships.
Wow! Do you remember which ship? Did he tell you?
USS Tripoli was one.
I remember that?
I have it written down.
Okay.
Anyway, and he said, in our ship, whoever was the head or whatever the term is, he called everyone to deck and he read my letter.
The admiral did or the captain?
Captain, I think. He called everyone to deck. Said, listen to this.
Wow.
He read my letter for everyone. And it's a beautiful letter. I mean, when I look at it,
it's a beautiful letter.
He read my letter. In other words, everyone had to stop what they're doing. He read my letter. So I didn't realize the degree of respect I had gotten. But there was the magic. My intuition, dreams, stuff, they were directing me, and I followed them through. So there was this little light of kindness from my heart because of what Randolph has done for me.
When you said light, I got extra light.
There you go. And this little beam. So when I talk about these things, more than a few minutes, magical things start happening, including beautiful music in the background sometimes. Other things start happening. It's just, when I talk about Randolph, he's put me through. Now, and little birds start showing up and singing and stuff like they're doing now. Not pigeons. I don't want them around.
Don't believe in empty symbolism now, necessarily.
No. But it's okay. Now,
It's a babe too.
So this little light leapt from my heart, San Francisco, the little went all the way across the continent, down in Somalia. And what he said to me, what he told me was that, you know, we were so bored out of our minds a lot of time, being on the ship a lot, something like that.
You
gave everything, stuff people were just, you were just the buzz for weeks. And he said, you know, your stickers started being duplicated and they were showing up in the secret corners of the submarine and ships and they'd be distributed throughout the world, throughout the whole military network, because there are a lot of gays who were sick and tired of being in the closet of the military, sacrificing the lives of the country, so this was their way of getting back. He distributed my stickers all over the world. I became a legend in there like that. It's incredible.
I know I've got it. I don't throw things out like that. I would tell you bluntly, you know that.
What do you write?
As you're talking, write down your Zeke and stuff. I've got it in here somewhere, but it's just like that. Your phone number and stuff.
Oh.
You break.
Again.
God damn it. What the fuck did I do with it? It's weird. Don't mind, I'm a spazoid there on the tape there.
Okay.
It's not fair. Shit.
They're usually not in San Francisco. You're not in a situation.
Doesn't matter. Look at San Francisco phone numbers. Look at numbers from all over the country, all over the world. This is certainly to me, too, though. I'm learning. One thing, if I can help you adjust your sights, is, and maybe I'm telling you something you already know, but I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm living my dream in that Martin Luther King kind of way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really kicked in the nuts when it comes to aspirations and hope. And
so have I, yeah.
And if it does anything, there's that period of bereavement, you know, that is healthy. There's also that period that's not after a certain point, you know. And I've learned that part of it too, you know. That a loss of part of me, part of my health. That's freaky. That's the hard one. I'm still dealing with that. I could get specific right now, but I want to remain general and stay in a high plane like it seems like we are. To be able to rise above your own shortcomings and to reach out.
I'm a nobody on SSI. You know, I got gay people in my building who don't know shit about what I do, and they harass me because they're angry that I'm living under rent control, just a room, or they harass me. One of them tried to get me evicted. They passed a petition to get me evicted from the building because I'm a danger to the building because they see me talking to homeless people. I mean, this was like last year. They're over this now. Actually, some of them are helping me.
Where do you live in the city?
In the Castro, on Market Street, where Noe and 16th all are interested in that big building.
Oh,
that check cashing center.
Yeah, oh, that is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like a known building there.
Oh, it was a center for the drug running for years.
Exactly. Crack
and I had
shit. That was a crack building.
It was a reign of, just a mini reign of terror for 8 years. Right? I lived there since 1983.
Wow.
I had to go to court twice to get a few people kicked out. Just, you know, somebody was trying to kick me and other people out. They were trying to terrorize us. There's no way. You know, then they harass in the streets to live and let live. I said, well, I tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Good response to that.
When it comes down to either you or me, you go. And you know, when it was announced, when Randolph was announced that he had died, some person came up to me, I didn't know. Turned out he was a part of this little clique of the season. He gave me this card, I heard about you, I'm so sorry. And he gave me this card and I opened it and it had human shit in it.
Oh, man.
And you know what I thought? See, I had no one to turn to for support. I was on my own.
Emotionally on that.
Yeah. And so
who could you really figure, like, how would you,
when you
have a difficult menu there.
Yeah, but when you're in the public eye, you're somewhat famous, you're going to have nasty people also, jealous people. I just remembered what Randy Johnson did no more. What I had just experienced there was nothing, was a piece of cake. How it ended up inspired me. So I was proud to take that bullshit and go to the
cruise. That's a very viable way of handling it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's nothing compared to Vietnam or whatever. But anyway, what was I saying? So the Marine who had visited me, he told me the incredible thing I had accomplished there. And that
you saw him in person and had him really look at the detail and stuff here.
Yeah, of course you were been out of touch.
What did he look like? I'm curious. I'm assuming type?
He's a Latino type, real friendly, smart, talk a bit on the big side.
Oh, really? You mean
very nice
corpulent
guy.
Or tall?
Not corpulent. Little on the big side.
Big bone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, like that. Average good looking, brown hair. I mean, he's good looking, not my type.
Right. But he had that energy, didn't he?
Yes.
But that was endearing.
And he really appreciated my writing to him because he was going through forms of trauma.
Even though it was impersonal now. Remember this. There's something ironic in the association here in that having the drawn on we of war. I mean, the waiting's worse than the
and seeing everything starving and dying.
Yeah, all
very
that.
Very depressing for him. So I talked
and not
to him
doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Easily.
So my letters helped him out a lot. Helped him keep his head together.
Shit.
And, you know, anyway, that's what I was doing in Randolph's spirit. Reaching out.
You know, it's kind of ironic in the spot of war that I was in. It was actually the kids that took care of the elders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And found lost souls like me in the midst of combat, taught me how to save my own life by pulling the leeches off and cooking this incredibly
amazing,
good soup out of leech, out of my own blood.
Mm-hmm.
You kept me alive. You know, cooking down your own blood,
man. You don't feel too much about your own blood. I am a vampire after all. Look at these